Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Ba-da-da. Wait for it. Here it comes. Ba-da-da-da-da. 304. McMahon Green with you on the fan. 1 hour down. Two more to go. As I got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. Another miserable Wednesday morning as both of our teams stink. This baseball, this June has been unbelievable. One, the weather was terrible for 3 weeks. Then it's so freaking hot you could barely step outside. You know, I have a fairly big house because I live with my mother. She has like a portion of the house. So it's a big house upstairs. Like, we got a lot of people in it. And like upstairs where the bedrooms are, you can't even keep it cool. Like the air conditioning just runs and runs and runs, but it's not cool. You walk downstairs, it's like walking from outside to inside. It's amazing. The downstairs area is so nice. Everyone's like sleeping on couches because it's so freaking hot upstairs. I was supposed to go. I signed up for field day with my son's school. I was going to go down for field day tomorrow or later today rather. And, you know, I don't know. Pull a Billy Madison and beat everybody at dodgeball. I don't know what I would have done, but I would have done something. And that got canceled because it's too hot. Crazy hot. The weather for me sucks. This is the worst. I loved the temperature for the first 3 weeks, but it was raining every stinking day. Now it's hot as hell, and the Yankees and Mets can't get a win. Not a single damn win. 0-5 against the Braves. What is that? They can't beat the Marlins. And the Yankees right now, they just can't get out of their own way. And last night, now it's, you know, the offense sucks, and now the bullpen comes and bites them. Not that the offense was really good. 3 runs really isn't enough. But, and they were shut down by a Cincinnati bullpen. They got to the starter. They got to Burns, the young phenom. They, you know, knocked him out in the 5th, 3 runs, and then did nothing the rest of the game. Did nothing in extra innings yet again, and now have lost another extra inning game, and they are as bad as any team in baseball at it. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Ray in Waterbury. What's up, Ray?
Hi, Chris. Great show as usual.
Thank you, buddy.
Great monologue on the New York teams. I think the Yankees are a little better shape than the Mets, though, because they got the better pitching overall. You know,
the Mets are in better shape. They got the better pitching. Yeah, right now.
The Yankees. Oh. The Yankees are in better shape.
Well, they're certainly pitching better now. That's the one thing that does make me feel somewhat good about it, is that this entire time, through the losing, the Yankees have had good pitching. And even the bullpen's been okay. It is almost, other than last night, it has been almost exclusively the offense not scoring enough runs in all these games that they've lost, where the Mets, it's the starting pitching's not good enough, the offense doesn't come through. Now they're starting to incorporate bullpen blowups. The Yankees were pretty much just the offense. So I don't know who's better. I don't know where, you know, moving forward. I do think that this slide, you could look at more issues that the Mets have than even the Yankees.
Exactly, Chris. Here's the thing, Chris. Mm-hmm. Bottom line is, you know what? It's going to continue tonight. How long is Holmes going to pitch? 5, 6? He's not going beyond five. He's tired. Well, and the bullpen's going to have to come in early again tonight.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's felt that way where in this stretch, it's not like you've gotten – I think it's been a little overblown overall throughout the year that they never get innings for their guys, but certainly in this stretch, it has just not been – it's been ridiculous how few innings you're getting from Griffin Canning, you're getting from Clay Holmes, who came out because of some issues coming off the Colorado start, the innings you're getting from Paul Blackburn. I mean, they're keeping you in the games – but they're not that the bullpen is being way, way overworked right now. Brazoban has fallen off the cliff after having a really good year. Reed Garrett is having his moments as well, and they're forced to throw guys like Nunez and Lovelady and, you know, Castillo. It's just it's been a struggle for them.
Right. The bottom line is it's almost like I take a chance and ask Holmes, do you want to go to the bullpen till we straighten this out?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm there yet, Ray. But go ahead. What's your next point? Yeah. I'll talk on that. Go ahead. What's your next point?
Yeah. Okay. And tell him, you know, we need help in the bullpen. At least, you know, let him be a middle innings guy or two innings, be the seventh, eighth inning guy.
What,
you
Holmes?
Know, and then take a chance on what it. Yeah, let Holmes do that.
I don't know. Right now, I feel really good about him. His innings haven't been that bad. He's one of the guys giving you innings. I know he had a pitch count because of, you know, feeling a little sore off the Colorado start, but he's been giving you kind of innings. He's been really good. I said at the beginning of the year I would not have been surprised if the New York Mets did transition him back to the bullpen for the end of the season because of the amount of innings he's pitched, because I thought that could be more of a need, because they have, and look, they're getting Manaea back. We woke up to the news, or at least I woke up to the news. I don't know what time it broke, but Manaea having a loose body in his elbow and getting a cortisone shot. And if you listen to the broadcast, Ron Darling was talking about how that could be like a day or two. It's not a big deal. They're hoping that they can get him back on the mound for another rehab start within the next couple of days. But you're still waiting for him. Now Montas is back. If he continues to pitch this way, I could see it eventually, but I don't know. Right now he's been too important to them in the rotation. I understand you got bullpen issues, but you know, it feels as if Clay Holmes has found a spot and found, you know, where he's better and more impactful with all these innings he's throwing. So I wouldn't mess with that right now. Let's go to Rob in the Bronx. What's up, Rob?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. I called at the end of last season with the Yankees, mm-hmm. and I talked about wanting to give Mattingly a shot, and you convinced me where you're like, you don't want him to be scrutinized like Boone. And I think you're right on that. Because listen to these callers with Boone. He got us the World Series last year. Like, I don't understand what the hell's going on, you know?
That's not good enough. The World Series isn't good enough. And then apparently they embarrassed themselves. I didn't feel overly embarrassed. I felt frustrated in the fifth inning, made me want to rip my teeth out. But getting to the World Series is clearly not good enough. It's not good enough. And what makes me laugh is the same people who will tell me that this series against Cincinnati is telling, and all the issues they have, not being able to score in extra innings, all these things that we're seeing in June against Cincinnati is really telling, and it's a real problem. And then when we say, like you and I just said, they got to the World Series, well, it was a cakewalk through the American League, through the, you know, the Cleveland and Kansas City. Does that even count? So they'll tell you the ALDS and the ALCS meant nothing. But the games in June in Cincinnati, they're very important.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know?
It's kind of ridiculous when you put it as clearly as I just did. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, but I'm a born-again boom believer.
Okay.
So
Well, again, and thank you for the call, Rob. I don't need you to be a Boone believer. You could have problems with him. I'm willing to take they don't treat Williams as someone who can go multiple innings. I don't even think it's discussed. Like, this is one of those things that people call Boone a puppet. I don't think Boone is a puppet. I think that's too strong a term, but they have organizational decisions that they come to an agreement on where Boone is a large voice in it, but Brian Cashman's also a large voice. I don't think Boone has the authority to throw Williams out there for second inning, or maybe he does, but it's not even in his mind. Like, I suppose he could do it. He could go ask Devin Williams, hey, you think he can pitch next inning? But, like, it's not even on. They know it's written down in stone, like the Jabba rules, right? Joe Torre, did we call him a puppet when he had the Jabba rules that he couldn't break? Like, I don't think Joe Torre came up with the Jabba rules, but they were imposed on him. It's just, like, right now, they don't consider Devin Williams a two-inning. They do not want the up-down with Devin Williams. So you could argue that, and Frazier did in the postgame, and I think it makes a lot of sense. He threw nine pitches. Send him back out there. They're strapped at the moment. You know, they're strapped. You got extra innings. You don't have a lot of guys behind Weaver. You went through Cruz fairly quickly. Like, Devin, you threw 9 pitches. Go back out there. But they don't even. That's not even an option for Boone. It's a no-go. They don't do it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You could argue that you left in Loizaga one batter too long. Sure, he hit the double that tied the game. You could have taken him out right then and there. When once he loaded the bases, bring in Cruz. I think that's a fair discussion. I don't think Rodon is fair now after Rodon came out and said he was gassed. I don't think it's a fair discussion. It was a fair discussion. I tried to have a fair discussion on Twitter saying, you know, look, I understand. I absolutely think you could have left Rodon in. Obviously, you could. 88 pitches. I'm almost surprised he didn't leave him in. But having said that, it's freaking 100 degrees out there. Steer is leading off, who had a double his last at bat against him. His numbers are worse third time around. And you probably don't want to have a reliever come in with runners on. So give Loizaga, you have a 3-run lead. You have it set up. Loizaga for the 7th, Weaver for the 8th, Williams for the 9th. Go get it done, Johnny. Like, it's on him. Once he loads the bases, you want to bring in Cruz right away instead of giving him that one final batter? I think you can have that discussion, and clearly that batter hits a game-tying double, so it all looks. He could have very easily hit into a double play, and no one cares, and we're not talking about it at all. But that's not the way it went down. Sal in Queens. What's up, Sal? You there this time?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
What you were saying about the Reds, the series, how it came to be right now, is what you... I couldn't be more... with agreement with you. But right now I have to say, first of all, in my opinion, I think that the hitting is not backing up the pitching. I think the pitching is doing fine.
Yep.
And well, it's just the hitting backing up the pitching.
100%.
And that's what led up to when they started losing and going down. And the fact is Boone needs to get fired. I don't know what what they see in his eyes, but he needs to go. Seriously. What is it?
I'm not laughing at the sentiment of moving on from Boone. I'm laughing that you were talking about, well, the offense, and then out of nowhere, Boone needs to get fired. Why does Boone need to get fired?
Because he's making poor decisions with these pitching. With
you just
our
said
relievers.
It's not the pitching.
Well, yeah, yes, I said that, but the fact that he's saying, one, he's doing making all these moves, and it's not working.
I mean, it didn't work last night. The other day, he did it perfect with Hill and Cruz came in and got the strikeouts with 2 runners on. Nobody remembers that game, and I tweeted it out because I know no one's going to remember it. No one's going to remember it when Boone did everything right, because we don't care. Because that's when they won the game on Sunday. No one cares that Boone did everything right. No one cares. It's supposed to go that way. The pitcher he brings in is supposed to get the outs. I'm sorry. And then I hate to push back on this because I don't want to be like the whataboutism kind of guy, but Major League Baseball has a problem with fundamentals. We've seen it through the Mets series. And last night, a Terry Francona-led team. Terry Francona, right? And he's not a puppet. He's won championships with the Boston Red Sox. He's one of, and I would tell you, for my money, I haven't paid enough attention to the Reds, but they're over 500, and they've just beat the Yankees twice. Like, I would tell you, I think he's the best manager in baseball. I think Terry Francona is one of the great managers in recent history. Got him through that down 0-3 series in 0-4, obviously. Like, I think Terry Francona is one of the best managers in recent history, and I would take him on my team any day. I think he's a better manager than Boone. For all the guys who think I'm like some sort of Boone fanatic, Terry Francona is a better manager than Boone, absolutely. Terry Francona is a great manager. And yet, his center fielder dove for a ball he had no chance with. Against Volpe, that led to a triple and an extra run. When Judge did that the other day, we went nuts about it. And more bad defense from the New York Yankees. And then at the in extra innings, Ellie De La Cruz thinks the game is over. Ellie De La Cruz doesn't know how many outs there are. How many runs there are. He doesn't know they need that he's the winning run. He thinks the game is over on that base hit and doesn't go to third. He almost walks off the base path thinking he's going to celebrate. What about that mental lapse? Does Boone manage the Reds in his part-time? Like, did Francona go take a piss or something and go to the bathroom and Boone took over for an inning? He doesn't realize he's the winning run for Terry Francona, who with Boston had beer and chicken and everything else that led to him being fired in the clubhouse. But it's Booney ball. Only the Yankees would have someone lose track of the count and get picked off of second base. Only the Yankees. The Reds played a really bad... The Reds did not play a clean game. They managed to win, but they didn't play a clean game. Bad defensive play in center field that led to an extra run. And then Ellie De La Cruz doesn't know he is the winning run. How is that possible? But I doubt very much anyone's going to be calling for the firing of Terry Francona. I doubt very much anyone's going to suggest that Terry Francona has bred an atmosphere where Ellie De La Cruz thinks it's okay to not pay attention. That's what we hear about Aaron Boone, that he's the reason that his players have these mental gaffes. He's the reason. And we see them all over the place. All over the place. Just look at the Mets-Braves series. The Braves have made terrible mistakes. The Mets have made terrible mistakes. Acuna thrown out at third base. Pickoffs at second base with first and second, nobody out. Alvarez thrown behind the runner to the wrong base. Like, it's all over the place. Look at baseball. O'Neill Cruz lets a base hit roll past him and doesn't even chase it down. In Pittsburgh. Like, there is a real conversation about the fundamentals of baseball. The Boston Red Sox right now are pissed that the players are coming up without fundamental skills. Campbell got sent down because he can't play second base. Roman Anthony blew a play on a single ground ball, let it roll right past him, and they made him run in the outfield to show the executives and the front office that they're unhappy with the state of the players coming up and how fundamental they are. Like, there's issues all over the place. Baseball's different. Players don't bunt. Same thing happened to the Cincinnati Reds. In this game, again, Terry Francona led Reds. First and obviously, runner at second base to start the 10th. The Yankees did not score in the top of the inning. Let me just make sure. I think it's Espinal. I think it's their 9 hitter. Let me just make sure. Yes. Espinal, the 9 hitter. Bunts at a ball that almost hit him in the ankles and fouls it off. And then Terry Francona takes off the bunt. And he swings away and pops it up. The Terry Francona-led Cincinnati Reds needed one run to win the game in the 10th. Their 9 hitter couldn't lay down a bunt, and they didn't score in the 10th inning. If the Yankees did that, we'd be apoplectic about the manager. If a New York Yankee in extra innings didn't realize he was the tying run and didn't go to third base on a clear-cut single, where he would have, and especially with his speed, he could have been standing there doing jumping jacks before the ball got to third base. He doesn't know he's the winning run. If that happened with the New York Yankees, it's all we'd be talking about. We wouldn't even care they lost the game. Even if they won the game, we'd be talking about how Boone continues to have players not know what's going on.
And we're just seeing the Reds for 5 minutes. Who knows how long a problem this is for Elly De La Cruz? You know how many errors he has at third base? I mean, a shortstop, you know how many errors he has? We don't care. But when the Yankees do it, it's boony ball. It's clearly, it's the problem. It's why they'll never win these games in June. But they kind of had the same June last year, and they went to the World Series. Yeah, with a cakewalk through the ALDS and ALCS. Oh, I got you. I got you. So the playoffs against the Cincinnati, the playoffs against the Kansas City Royals and the Cleveland Guardians mean less and tell you less, and we can learn from less and are valued less than games against Cincinnati in June. This is where you really find out about the team. Oh, that was an easy cakewalk to the World Series. I mean, they didn't even have to try. That's easy. It's these games here in Cincinnati in June. That's really where you find out who the Yankees are when the rubber meets the road. Never mind the ALDS and ALCS. That's child's play. It's these really meaningful games against the Angels in June. That's where we find out how this team plays in the clutch. That's how we find out what this team is made of. These games now. I know they went through the American League only losing two games. No big deal. That was easy. This is where it's tough. It's ridiculous. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve?
You know, Chris, I'll just say this. I'll just add to it. Talk about scrutiny. Everybody's using torpedo bats. Yankees hit a couple of extra home runs one weekend. Equipment conspiracy. Okay? I mean, the scrutiny of just, like, it's like you said, it could happen anywhere else. But yep. If it happens here, you know, it's a thing. It's a thing. The bats. How's Anthony Volpe's torpedo bat doing right now? I mean, how come it's not a you know, some kind of an issue? Well, it is an issue. Maybe you need to change to a different bat.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not getting on him. You know, and I want to push back on the Loaiza thing.
Yeah.
They're trying to get him right. You know, the flip side of the coin is, he was sticking with his guy to instill some confidence that he could get out of the situation.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it.
It didn't work out.
Yeah, no, it didn't work out. And, I think that's part of it. But you got to win games. I mean, they're really floundering. If Aaron Boone felt like, you know, he needed to get him out of there, but no, you know, let's just wait around and see if he can get out of this himself. I think he felt like he hadn't been hit all that hard. He walked the guy and got two ground balls. He gets another ground ball. It could be a double play and get out of the inning. So, like, I think he felt like he was going to give him the opportunity. He hadn't given up a run yet. I mean, and it happens to be a hanging slider that gets ripped down the line for a bases-clearing double. Even if it's a base hit up the middle, it scores two runs. You bring in Cruz, and you'll have first and second two runs in, and you feel like, okay, just get out of it. You know, with the lead, but he gives up the double. It's a killer.
And, you know, the other thing is that I'm just curious. Did Volpe, the ball that was that a play that he should have made? I was listening on the radio, and I could not get a feel for that. I'm curious what you think about, what you thought, you know, before in that inning where the ball was hit, you know, and Volpe stopped the ball, but he could not. It was just like
it was a very difficult play. There was he didn't have a chance to really make a play. He came up trying to make a play at third, but I don't think so.
And you know, I'm always saying, well, if you win 95 games, you lose 67. Blah blah. Yeah, well, this one, you know, and they said on yes, the first game this year, the Reds have won when trailing after the sixth inning. So that was like the cherry on top for misery, you know, on top of the heat and every other damn thing.
Yeah, they haven't had a single comeback win after the sixth inning all year, and they did it to the Yankees last night. Loaiza blew the game. Loaiza blew the game. But the offense, you know, could have scored more runs. When you score three runs, as much as, look, they had that game won, and Loaiza blew the game. There's no doubt about it. That's what happened. But you got to tack on more runs. You got to be able to score more runs. Like if they score six runs, like even if I like there's a like if they score 6-7 runs and then they blow it and lose 8-7, I'll blame the pitching a lot more. Now Loizaga blew the game, but three runs isn't like some sort of number that you can't you got to score more than three runs. You got to figure out a way to get some more runs. And listen, it falls on Judge too. He's got to listen. He's the captain of the team. He's the best player in the world. He's got to come through with that. He's got to come through with that at bat. He's got to get a base hit there. He's got to get on. He's got to score a run. He's got to figure out a way. They're not doing enough offensively. And again, 1-for-21 with runners in scoring position. That's the issue.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right. 334. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019.
You bargained for it. I've been dying to tell you anything you want to hear. Because that's just who I am this week.
That's right. Little Fallout Boy here at 335. Again, that's without question one of the most nervous I've ever been in my life having to sing Fallout Boy to Fallout Boy. That was the day. 888-808-1019. We'll continue to take your baseball calls. We'll get to the basketball, the NBA draft later tonight. A lot of move, man. This is some NBA offseason. That is for sure. It's quick. It's fast paced, and it's moving. The Celtics are doing everything they got under the second apron by making more trades, Holiday and now Porzingis, and they used the Nets to get their way. They sent Porzingis to Atlanta. The Nets will get Terrence Mann and Atlanta's first-round pick, number 22. So the Nets now have five first-round picks. You would assume they're not going to take all of them. We'll see what kind of moves to be made for the Brooklyn Nets heading into the draft. A lot of thoughts that a certain someone who played his college basketball at Rutgers is somehow going to find his way to Brooklyn. We'll see if that's the case. And then there was another name that I found out this morning added to the Knicks coaching search, as I believe it's Micah Norry. He's been an assistant coach all over the place, currently the lead assistant with the Minnesota Timberwolves. He's been with the Detroit Pistons, the Denver Nuggets, the Sacramento Kings, the Toronto Raptors. He's been around the league a lot. Now, I kind of said this. Now, I don't know much about him, but there's a lot of talk that, you know, Jokic is a fan. Obviously, I believe, you know, he worked with Karl Anthony Towns. And look, these are the kind of names. I'm actually not going to go nuts about it. I know what you're probably thinking. Chris hates this coaching search. I don't think he has a real chance at the job. But these are the kind of coaching search, like a targeted search, like a problem is getting Karl Anthony Towns to, like, you know, get his game together or work with Jalen Brunson. You know, maybe let's look at a coach who worked with Karl Anthony Towns. Like, let's work with an offensive coach who's been around the league and worked with big men in Denver and with Cat in Minnesota. Like, these are the names that jump out at you because you've never heard them before. But at the same time, this has to be a targeted search. Like, these names don't bother me as much. I don't think he's going to have the job. Every report is now, it feels like. Ian Begley's just on talking about the idea that he does believe that the Knicks are going to hire a coach with coaching experience, head coaching experience. So I don't know, you know, if Norrie has a legitimate chance at the job. But I don't mind hearing some of these names because I wanted a targeted search for guys who specifically fit needs that they fired Tibbs for. They didn't fire Tibbs just because, hey, we need a new coach. They fired Tibbs for specific reasons. So I don't mind some of these names. Now, I don't think he's going to have a chance to get hired, and I'm hoping it's still Jason Kidd, and it sounds like that is still very much on the table. But what I will tell you is that if Jason Kidd falls through, and they, you know, right now between Mike Brown, who I'm seeing reports that he's the leader in the clubhouse, and many people expect him to be the next head coach, I'll tell you, I'd rather see Norrie than Brown just for the sheer fact this guy's entertaining. I don't know if you've seen the clip that's all over social media, but obviously if you've watched a lot of NBA games, sometimes the assistant coach coming out of the halftime will get to do a little bit of a TV spot. And I can tell you this. As much as this is a huge season for the New York Knicks, where they are absolutely one of, if not the best roster in the, considering all the injuries, and now the Boston Celtics trading away Holiday, they're trading away Porzingis, like the Halliburton injury, the Knicks have a chance to be the best team in the Eastern Conference. This is a huge year, but at the very least, I don't mind being entertained, and I can tell you right now, Mika Norrie, he's pretty entertaining. Listen to these interviews. Mika? I always say that. Mika Norrie. He's pretty entertaining. Let's listen to some of the coaching interviews he's given throughout the years.
Nothing, fast break points, boom goes the dynamite, there goes our lead. We got to treat Maine like you do the elf on a shelf on Christmas morning. You got to find him. You know, he makes everybody comfortable. He's like popcorn during Saturday night movies. Our paint defense was like 7-11, open 24 hours. Realize they had it's on like Donkey Kong the way they started out. First time all year that we were kind of on almost like a hot mess express.
A hot mess express. I like that one. That's the first time all year we kind of felt like a hot mess express. He had some really funny ones in there. Some of them are old and cliched, but hey, I like sound bites. I like hearing from a coach who can have a little fun in the press conference. I mean, that's
our other wintertime coaches that we hear from a lot are Aaron Glenn and Brian Daboll. Mike Norrie.
That's a good point. That is a very good point. Think about how terrible are the and how boring the coaches are. And listen, Glenn, I mean, we'll see how it works. I still have concerns about it, how he handles the media. I mean, even during minicamp and everything, like when he's asked, I know the clip was played around and everything. It's a couple, it's a week more than that old. But is everybody here? And he turns to he's asked if everyone showed up. He's like, you tell me. Like, what does that mean? Like, what do you mean you tell me? No, we're here at a press conference. We ask you questions, you answer them. If you don't want to answer it, say, I don't want to tell you. But what does you tell me mean? Like, why are we being combative? Look.
Mike Norrie can be the Knicks Mike Tomlin. Yeah. That's what he sounds like.
Right, exactly. It's obviously really quiet with the Jets right now. And that is, and as to reports, that's exactly how they want it. And good for them. And good for them. As they passed on Aaron Rodgers for Fields, it sounds like Aaron Rodgers has kind of declared this will be his last season in the NFL out in Pittsburgh. But I'm hoping Aaron Glenn does a good job. I'm puzzled by how he's handled the media, but that doesn't matter. Go out there and win. And I do think they're a talented roster, and we'll see if he can kind of create this thing around it. But talking about the coaches and the owners, obviously, if you haven't heard, the Denver Nuggets owner, Josh Kroenke, was talking about the state of the Denver Nuggets and actually uttered words that I cannot believe any owner with a superstar player would honestly, like, even if in the deep set of his mind and in conversations in the organization, this has come up. This is not something that you say publicly. So this is what the owner of the Denver Nuggets had to say today.
I think that for us as an organization, going into that second apron is not necessarily something that we're scared of. I think that there are rules around it that we needed to be very careful of with our injury history. The wrong person gets injured, and very quickly you're into a scenario where that I never want to have to contemplate, and that's trading number 15. And so we're very conscious of that pushing forward and providing the resources that we can when the moment arrives. But that second apron, is it a hard cap? I'm not 100% sure, but it's something that teams are obviously very aware of going forward.
I mean, why on earth would you even float the idea that there is a circumstance that could befall the organization that you would consider trading Jokic? Like, and I don't care what apron or what the penalties are, you're a billionaire. You do not move him. And to even utter the words publicly that we've got to be careful because all it may take is one injury and I would have to contemplate something I don't want to contemplate in trading arguably the best player in the NBA, two-time MVP champion. Like, why on earth would that ever be on the tip of your tongue to say it publicly to media to run with it so dopes like me could play it at 3:40 in the morning? Are you stupid? In an NBA, a league driven by superstars, why would you even put it in your star's head that, listen, yeah, well, I mean, look, I don't want to do it, but of course, anything's on the table. No, it's of course not. You're in Denver for the rest of however long you want to play basketball, you are here. I cannot believe an owner would say that. I mean, look, I don't think he intends to do it, but to actually say it publicly that you would consider moving him if there are injuries, if we go into the apron and I'm not sure exactly the penalties, but I mean, you're an injury away from having to trade him. Like, what? I can't believe that. That's the kind of thing you just don't say publicly, ever. Ever, ever, ever. Ever. Would you consider trading him? Like, if someone gave you some sort of weird hypothetical that it was for every other the entire Western Conference All-Star team, and, if you did it, you would cure cancer. You'd be like, I don't know, I gotta think about it. Like, you don't ever say you're trading Jokic. Amazing. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Morning, C-Max.
Good morning.
Another hot, brutal night, huh? It's time. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I don't have a clue. You? What can they do? I mean, they're playing lackadaisical. They're playing like they're sleeping.
I don't know if they're sleeping. They're not hitting.
That's the same thing as falling asleep.
I guess. I mean,
the song in 1966, either on Revolver or Yesterday and Today, the number one song off the Yesterday Today album, or the second song was, I'm Only Sleeping.
Yeah, I think it's the third song. The second song is Eleanor Rigby.
Yeah, no, Eleanor Rigby was on Revolver.
Oh, okay, I don't know the Yesterday and Today one. I think I've seen it.
That's the one before Revolver.
Yeah, but it's got the same. I looked at it after you brought it up one time, and it's pretty much the same songs. It's not one of their main featured albums.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's like a Revolver is. It's Help, Revolver. It's Help, Rubber Soul, Revolver, Sergeant Pepper. Like, it's right. There's no Yesterday and Today.
Yesterday was like in between.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean they had the Hey Jude album too, where they released You Don't Want to Know a Secret, and that was kind of an album, but it wasn't really an album. I guess Yesterday and Today falls into that. Is that the one with the cover of them with an
amplifier?
Oh, they were sitting on an amplifier. What's the one where the weird baby? They're like dolls, and they're all dressed as butchers, the weird album cover.
Oh,
I forget that. Let me
see. The Revolver album was with...
No,
with
the Revolver was like the drawing.
Yeah, that was the drawing. The one with the babies?
Yeah.
Let me think.
Yesterday and Today. That's what I thought it was. Yeah. Yesterday and Today, and they got like all these toy... They got like all these like child dolls.
Hold on a second. I got it right here. They were sitting on a guitar case, and in the back it was for all the pictures of the previous albums. So they were sitting on like an open guitar case with like there was a guitar case.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, I see that one. Right okay, in front of me. I see that one. Okay, so I guess they had it too, but I knew it's called the Butcher Baby album cover. They're literally like dressed as you know like Paulie and Rocky, where they're dealing with meat.
You know what album that might be? Yellow Submarine.
No, it's not. It is Yesterday and Today. They must have had two different album covers.
Nah, possibly. I have the one with the guitar case.
Yeah, if you Google Butcher Baby Beatles album cover, Yesterday and Today comes up. And it says, yes, I'm looking at it right now, the Beatles.
Oh, yeah, we have Yesterday and Today. We have the different cover.
Yeah, you have a different cover.
So we're getting to the point where...
They probably realized it was extremely weird. And they just moved on to the next. They decided.
They moved on to the next. Like this, the next
hey, boys, come here, boys. Listen, this whole baby meat thing isn't working, fellas. We're gonna let's just go to the back studio and take a picture of you sitting on an amplifier or something because we're getting all kinds of crazy reports.
So what about this guy Nori you're saying about? He's going to be the next coach.
It's another name they're going to talk to. I don't know if they're going to hire him. I don't think they are. He's the assistant coach currently with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
He will.
Yeah, so he's just another name, and thank you for the call, Stu. I don't know if they're going to actually hire him, but they're going to talk to him. And again, I didn't hear it, but I saw like the story written about Gio's natural response when he first heard it. And by the way, I heard a little bit of the show as I was driving home, and then I'm with the boys, and I fell asleep. I didn't get to listen. But Nikki Cass did the show with Gio today. He's really funny. He's the videos he puts out have me crying, especially because my father-in-law was born in Italy. We're actually going to Italy this summer back to the town he was born in, Sicily. And, you know, he was born in Italy, was raised in, I think he came over here at like 15 or 16, and he still, you know, he speaks with a little bit of an Italian accent. And Nick does these videos of the older Italian men and their friends or the grandpa or whatever. It's hilarious. He sounds, and I know a couple of, you know, born in Italy people through my father-in-law and, you know, my family too. I'm Italian, despite the last name. And it sounds, they crack me up. I'm constantly sending my wife videos of him doing the Italian accent. So I got to go back and listen to the show. I'm sure he did a great job, but I saw that. Gio reacted with, I'm sure it was like, who? I honestly, this one doesn't bother me because I want the search to be targeted. I don't want to just say, like, what bothers me about this search is, oh, well, let's just go and see what other coaches are available. Let's just talk to teams and see who may be looking to move on from their head coach. Like, anyone can do that. Like, I don't mind the odd coach that you wouldn't have thought of who's good at something that Tibbs isn't. Or that, you know, Carl Anthony Towns told you, look, this guy really has great ideas offensively. I think he could help me and Brunson work together. You know, like, I don't mind. I'm not saying you have to hire him, but I don't mind talking to, like, targeted coaches for specific reasons because he was fired for a specific reason. So, again, I don't think Nori is going to get the job. I do feel like now they're going to probably, considering how the search has gone, I think they're looking for a coach with head coaching experience. I'm even off the Johnny Bryant. I thought it was going to be Johnny Bryant for a long time. I think I'm off that, too. That was the first name brought up by Ian Begley. Something about it just screamed, like, this is what they want to do. They want to go to Johnny Bryant. That's their guy in waiting. But now with the way the rest of the search has gone, I don't know. It seems like they're going to take a coach with head coaching experience. And right now, there are reports that Mike Brown is the leader in the clubhouse. It's a very uninspiring hire. Doesn't mean it's the wrong one. Doesn't mean they can't win. But if he's the hire, I'm going to have a rough time getting excited about it. 888-808-1019. Maury in Belmore, tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. How you doing? All right?
Good. How are you?
Can you smell it in the air, the mediocrity of New York baseball? Because that's what I smell. Yankees seem to not be able to win anything when they have somebody on second base. They can't get that running. They're like 0 for 8. And then, you know, the Knicks still can't find a coach. But I'm listening to Christopher this morning, and I'm listening to about the Beatles talk.
Yeah.
But what are we going to do? We still don't have a coach. We can't make any trades. We got this draft coming up, and we still we're like a rudderless ship. I don't know what to do, Christopher. Music's not helping me. What am I going to do? We need a trade. We need something. I'm starting to lose faith in my shortstop, who was the shortstop of the future, which we're starting to question.
Oh, yeah.
What are we going to do? Because if we can't fix this soon.
Yeah.
This team is better than this.
I mean, let's be honest. I'm mad. I'm frustrated. So. They're better than this. They'll start playing better. There's nothing that you can do until there's no moves to be made. David Stern spoke to the media today and said the same thing. There's no moves to be made right now. There's no one trading. People haven't designated themselves buyers or sellers.
Yeah.
And even the sellers who have designated themselves sellers, they're waiting for other teams to declare themselves buyers. Like, there's just no...
Yeah.
There's nothing to be done. This team is better than this. And they're pitching, pitching well. Like, they're still pitching really well. Like, eventually this offense is going to come through and start turning this thing around. I'm not... Even only one game up on Tampa Bay, I'm not overly concerned. And I'll tell you the truth. Like, I think Tampa Bay is going to fade in the second half of the season. I do. I think right now they're hot. There's no doubt about it. They've front-loaded all these home games. They're going to start hitting the road heavy in the second half. I think Tampa Bay is going to fade. And you know they're not what we're going to try and do at the trade deadline. You know the Rays ain't trying to do nothing. They ain't going to trade it.
Yeah.
They're not going to do anything to improve themselves. They're not going to go get a big-time player. They're not going to go get an impact bat. They're not going to go get anything. This is the team. The Rays aren't going to try to improve themselves at all.
And now, just one more thing in regards to the remake of Twins. Do you know that Arnold Schwarzenegger made the most money on Twins than any other movie? Because he produced it.
Really?
$68 million on that movie compared to all the other ones he made.
Yeah,
so I mean, he wants the remake because he's going to get paid for that one too. So
I mean, has that been out there that he wants to remake it?
They've been talking about it.
Somehow
Eddie Murphy's involved, where he's the third brother, which is a stupid story.
Yeah, I don't know. I would have just thought a remake of the movie, not with Arnold, not with Danny DeVito. But if I mean, that would be fun to go back and like have a see where they are now. I suppose, or what's going on with their lives now. I don't know if I'd add a third brother, but who knows? I just assumed remake meant, you know, they'll probably remake the idea of Twins. But, a couple of movies coming out. We were at the at Fanatics Fest. They had a whole big thing on Happy Gilmore 2. They had a whole big golf setup. You walk through. They had all movie memorabilia. They had a little putting green that you had to putt around an alligator. Then they have like a legitimate golf simulator that you were taking turns trying to hit it like Happy Gilmore does. Then my sons took a picture in a golf cart. It was fun. I'm looking forward to Happy Gilmore. I got to watch it again to see if I could let my kids watch it. I don't remember. Like it's probably PG-13, so I'll probably just stay away. But I don't know if there's anything really so bad that they can't watch it. I'm trying to think. I got to go back and watch it. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll say good morning. We'll have an update. And we'll take you to 5 o'clock and take your calls the rest of the way on this miserable Wednesday morning. And both of our baseball teams can't get out of their own way. And now they are finding ways to lose. And more than just slumping, they're turning into bad baseball teams.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.